That's okay. A little silence is okay, but surely somebody will speak.
Is it Tracy?
Yeah.
You may have read the post. A couple of things. One, I've made an appointment with Kathleen to go over the website, because I do still find it difficult, you know, technologically challenged. But I managed to make a poster comment, so I'll get that. I found in the exercise, one of them anyway, that I had a sense of position when I started visioning the stretching of a molecule. It was as though I was standing in one place watching it happen in front of me. And eventually, as it continued, my sense of position dissipated, and floating kind of quality. To me, it felt like I was joining in the experience, you know, inhabiting the space within which the expansion was occurring. That was very different. I don't know what I'm supposed to feel, but what it seemed like.
Well, that's good. I think it's a really good distinction to make, and it's something that's going to come up, well, really just again and again and again and again. The tendency we have is always to take a position. And if we approach this whole style of inquiry, the whole TSK approach, from the position of a bystander.
Let him know that you're here.
I wonder who that is. Okay. If we approach it from the position of a bystander, we will be leaving out of the inquiry the most important part, you know, which is us. So, I can only second what you said. I think that's a really important distinction. It's a good thing for people to
leaving out the most important part, you mean inhabiting the space?
No.
Okay. Somebody said no, so someone can expand on that no.
To recognize ourselves.
This is very interesting. We're getting a little bleed in from some other phone call, I guess. Anyway, I think we're okay now. Go ahead.
I found giant body exercise helpful in terms of appreciating the physical body and mind as a form of space. So that the subject is space as well. That the space is undivided.
Yeah. The tendency in any of these exercises is to, I already said to take a position, but when you stay on the physical level, you know, there's such a strong bias that we have, and it's in our culture, but it's also, I think, you know, part of the human condition to have this kind of simple-minded dualism where you say, okay, there's the world and there's me. And if you do TSK from the point of view of looking at the world, but you leave out me, then you won't get that far. And it becomes kind of abstract, and I think it becomes a little bit difficult to understand why would you even bother doing it. I mean, you might have interesting experiences, but why would you even bother doing it? So we really do want to be finding ways to bring the me, the I, the self, that whole story about I'm the one who's having the experience. We want to bring that into the practice, and right now when we're starting to deal with space, we want to see how that self relates to space. So, I think, you know, if giant body works for you as a way of doing that, that's great. Any of these practices that we're doing, if we stay on that level, if we can find a way to bring the self into the practice instead of being the one who's doing the practice or observing the practice, that's when things really start to shift in a very dynamic way. So we've had two or three people join us since we started. Maybe you could identify yourselves.
Michael here.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Anybody?
Well, I actually left the room and called on another phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine.
Is Christine on?
I am.
Did Marcia get back on? Apparently not. Okay.
Apparently not. Okay, well, we're having a little trouble with quality on this phone call.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to get this funny washtub sound. Anyway, okay. Anybody else want to say anything about how the practice has been going for them? No.
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
It isn't a little too much focus on me, but since nobody's talking, I might as well.
Uh-huh.
There was, you, in the orientation, I guess the week three one, you said you need to expand the sense of space. You could think of this as a metaphor. I'm trying to understand, I guess, the terminology. Because we talk about space, when I look at my hand, for example, I see there's space around it. When I look out my window and there's trees, there's space between the trees. But we also talk about the space of experience, and we said it's not real space, but metaphorically. So are we using space in two different ways, one to mean physical space and the other to mean kind of like mental or emotional space?
Well, kind of. It's a really good, very important question. When I said you could think of kind of mental or emotional space as metaphorically, I don't think that's really the final position in TSK at all. But it's at least a good place to start, is to say, well, maybe it's not the same as physical space, but it's something like physical space. There's a very good discussion of this. Somebody asked that I give references when we talk about things in the phone calls, and this is an easy reference to give. It's the first page of the first book, the TSK book, and some of you will remember that it starts off saying something like, wherever we go, whatever we do, above us is the sky, and then it says, the sky could be considered a representative of space, something like that.
What could be considered?
The sky. Yeah, and I would say the same thing really for physical space, and you know, we'll get into this a little bit more as we go along in the next few weeks, but let me give a kind of preliminary version of it. The basic idea is that when we are going about our business, when we're busy being ourselves, we're inhabiting a space. And that space is not just physical space. It's the space that is defined by our concerns, by our history, by where we're going. That is, you know, what our projects are, what we have in mind. And that's the kind of level that I referred to before as metaphorical. And I think that physical space, you know, one way to say it is, well, physical space is what's real, and this other space is a metaphor. But I think where TSK ultimately comes down is to say physical space is one example of space. And it's an example that we tend to fixate on, and it becomes really misleading in a sense. It becomes really misleading because we focus on that one and we say, oh, that's space. And the TSK understanding of space is something much broader. And that's really where the readings are taking us right now, and somewhat the exercises. And that's kind of the point that I was trying to make with the idea of inquiry. You know, when you start off with a focus on the content of what's going on in your mind, the thoughts mm-hmm. or the concerns that you have, that's a little bit like starting off with physical space. And saying, okay, there are objects in space, so now I understand what space is. It's what holds physical objects. And in the same way, if you say, there is a content to my experience, so now I understand what my experience is. It's the content of whatever I happen to be thinking about or focused on. Well, both of those are too limited, and you can actually see it pretty easily with mental experience, because it turns out, if you look just for a moment, that it's not just what we're focused on, you know, like I'm thinking of the talk that I have to give tonight, but it's how I feel about that talk, how that talk is related to my sense of myself. I won't try to go through the whole thing, but that's what we were trying to explore in the first couple of weeks when we talked about the different layers of experience. And in the same way, you could say space, physical space, is one layer of space. But the broader context or the broader sense of what space is about is that it's this, it's a field. I think, you know, that term will get introduced in a week or two in the reading. And, you know, we move through space, and in moving through space, we're moving through a field. And if we choose to regard ourselves as just a body, which is a very limiting way of regarding ourselves, and you know, no one but physicists and other kinds of scientists really think of human beings as just bodies. But if we choose to regard ourselves as just bodies, then we will focus on physical space. But if we regard ourselves as living, breathing human beings with things that concern them, then space will expand accordingly. And that's why the focus on space in TSK is not just an abstraction. You know, it's not just a way of saying, oh, you know, there could be more than three dimensions of physical space or something like that. I mean, that might be cool, but that's not the point. The point is that if we can expand our understanding of space, you could say if we can expand space, then we expand who we are, and ultimately we really expand beyond the who-ness of who we are into a different way of being entirely. So that's a little mini lecture. Sorry, I don't really like to do that in these phone calls, but
it's helpful. Thank you.
It's helpful. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
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 You said physical space is one layer of space, and mental space is another layer of space. So
yeah.
I think how much layers of space we can explore. Do
yeah.
you understand my question?
I think I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, a starting point would be to say the mental layer is, okay, first there's physical space, and then there's
yeah.
mental space. So now we have two. And that's
yeah.
interesting, because I this is a point I like to make, because it's one that you can... I think one can learn a lot about this. The moment you have two instead of one, then you have the possibility of many. You know, as long as there's only one, then there are no options. But as soon as you recognize that there's even one option, then there's nothing to stop you from having 5, 10, an infinite number of options. And I think space is like that. If you say, okay, there's mental space, so now I know that there are more possibilities, then the next thing to do is start to investigate what we mean by mental space. And
yeah.
immediately we start to discover different possibilities. So,
yeah,
yeah, that's basically it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Okay, well, let's look a little bit more at the reading for this week, which is only a few pages. It's the first half of... the second chapter in Dynamics of Time and Space. Basically, what I have in mind is that we can talk about this a little bit, and then I'd like to introduce a practice, and then that'll be it. There's a line on page 10 of the reading where Rinpoche writes, with no container, there is also no containing. Now, you remember he uses this image of a box, as though we take all our experience and put it into a box. And that box is something, is like is space. And that's definitely a metaphor. This is a metaphor for space. And then he says, if you can open the box, you know, not by just opening the top, but by actually just taking the whole box apart, then there's no container. And so in this sentence, he's saying, if there's no container, there's no containing. And I think you could add to that, there's also nothing contained. And that really is, I think, a wonderful shorthand for what TSK is all about. We are completely committed to the idea that there are certain things that are true about our experience. And that word thing is a very broad term, and it includes especially our sense of ourselves, you know, and our history, and of course the objects in the world, and the other people we interact with, and our projects, and our thoughts, and you know, basically, whatever goes on, whatever you can assign a name to, is a thing in that sense. And one way to think about this, and it's not, you know, maybe this is a little limiting, but one way to think about this is that in order there for there to be something at all, there has to be some container for that thing. You can't quite say there has to be something that contains that thing, because now you're talking about things and things, but to be a container is different from being a thing. Well, let's pass that. That's a little too complicated and confusing, I think. The point I'm really trying to make is that when something is there, there's automatically a space as a kind of a field, as a kind of a field that allows that space or allows that thing. And if you take apart space, if you open up space, which in a sense means taking it to a different dimension, you know, if you take it into a different dimension, then the thing will also necessarily change because there's nothing to contain it. And that is a fundamental challenge to how we go about living our lives. And really, there's a lot in this first chapter which talks about that. You know, Rinpoche says, objects proclaim their reality, and we accept that reality. This is on page 11. And we draw on it to compose the substance of our own lives. Well, that whole idea of proclaiming a reality, again, depends on having a, it's kind of like stepping into a space. You know, if you take, I'm very interested in language, and I know not everybody is, but so I tend to approach these things in terms of language. Let me take the language here seriously for a moment, and look at that word proclaim. He says, objects proclaim their own reality. Well, in order to proclaim something, you have to step into a public space. Again, this is on the level of metaphor, but I think it's important. If somebody proclaims the truth about something, it means they step into a public space or arena, and they are speaking to an audience, and all of that is happening within that public space or arena. And that's what objects do too. They have their space, and within that space, they are constantly proclaiming their reality. Now, there's a, let me just mention this and then I'll stop for some discussion. But, have any of you read the novel, 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez?
Yes.
Okay. There's an interesting section of that. That novel is it has a kind of a fantastic flavor to it. I mean, things happen that wouldn't happen in the real world. But there's one small story in the novel where people start to forget things, and they gradually forget everything they ever knew. And typically when we say we forget things, we imagine forgetting, you know, our own identity or our own history or things like that. But in this case, they even forget the world around them. They forget the significance of things. And at a certain point in the novel or in that story, in order to try to help themselves remember, they put labels on everything. And it's like, you know, you put a label on a coffee cup and you say, this is a cup, you pour liquids into it. And then you can take them and drink them. Like that. So it's a kind of a hopeless enterprise, but they try. They try to label everything in their reality. And that image of labeling everything in our reality, that's very much this sense of proclaiming, I think. It's, you know, objects proclaim what they are. They come with their own labels, and they're constantly broadcasting. And, sometimes people talk about that, the way that's going to be in society in a while. They're going to set things up where you're walking by a movie theater and your cell phone has a message on it saying what's playing in the theater and what the show times are and trailers and so on. It's going to be kind of like that. Or that's a kind of a very high-tech version, but it's based on this underlying sense that every single thing that we encounter proclaims what it is. And in order to do that, it operates in a certain space. And that's the space that we want to question. Okay, now I'll stop.
I have a question where I get stuck with that, Jack. This is Hayward.
Yeah.
Where I get stuck with that is it seems that the object exists because I label it or my culture labels it rather than it proclaiming itself. It feels like it's a larger consensus of self and culture or individual knower or, you know. So I don't understand how to relax that.
Well, I think your point is completely right, and you know, I don't think we need to make the distinction in such a rigid way. I shouldn't say rigid, I guess, but we don't have to make that distinction. Because the question you have to ask yourself is, how do objects get the power to proclaim their reality? And the answer, in terms of the ordinary structures that we've set up, is that we, the culture, give them that power. And so it really is a circle, you know. We establish our identity based on the world that we're born into, which is constantly proclaiming the way things are. But that power to proclaim the way things are is because we have already established that world. We, the culture, you know, the sort of, I mean, here's this little baby, right? So it's not the one that's naming everything. Everything comes pre-named, but that's, you know, you could say human beings that have done that. But then you could take the circle around one more time and say, well, and how did they do it? Well, they were born into a culture too. So it goes round in a circle. So I don't think you have to, you know, there's nothing magical or there's nothing mysterious about the notion that that objects proclaim their own identity. That in itself is just one way into this broader picture of things being self-creating and self-created at the same time. Does that help?
Thank you.
Yeah. Don't take what I say as the truth, you know. I'm just trying to help illuminate things here. I hope that helps. Okay. Let's see. So let me just point to one more or a couple more things from the reading, and then that'll lead us into introducing the exercise. Rinpoche says at one point that we have to sharpen our understanding of the substantiality of what appears in space. And my point really in light of what we've been saying is just that sharpening our understanding of substantiality means sharpening our understanding of space, but it's not conventional space. It's this idea.
Hello.
Who's that? Okay.
Hello.
Okay. Well, we're. I'm just going to try to go on here. Okay. I think what I'm going to do, instead of trying to explain that anymore, let me just suggest a practice. And I'm going to put this online by tomorrow morning. I don't have much time today, but I'll do it by, you know, within 24 hours. And it's a practice some of you are already familiar with. You can find it in a version of it in the When It Rains book, although it's not in the TSK books. And it's a practice of expanding. Can everybody still hear me at this point? We've gotten a lot of noise.
You're breaking up.
Okay. Well, all I can do, given that we're dependent on the technology, is come in closer to the phone. Hopefully that'll help. So maybe the key point is that I will put this online in written form. What I want to suggest we do is work with the idea of expanding in space or expanding space. So it's a lot like what was in the first chapter about expanding the molecule. But, okay, I think this is getting a little too hard. So if Kathleen's still there, let's see if we can work out the technology of it.
Yeah, I also can't hear.
Yeah.
I can't hear you at all.
Okay. I will put something online. In fact, I'll try to put something short online right now.
Thank you.
We'll talk again next week. Hopefully better. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.